You know, in the weeks, we kid at our house, the weeks are only 3 days long. And all of a sudden you wake up, it's Monday, and then it's Thursday, and then it's Sunday again. So we get a Monday, Thursday, Sunday. You know, and that's our kind of a running joke in our house, that the weeks go by so quickly that it's like a 3 day week. You just wake up and all of a sudden the week's going by you fairly quickly. And you know as well as I do that if you multiply 24 hours in one day times 7 days, that you'll end up with 168 hours in a week. Now, 168 hours, everybody has 168 hours in a week. And so what do you do with that 168 hours? And really, you should be sleeping somewhere between 40 and 50 hours of that week, of that 168. You should be sleeping about that length of time. And some of you do, some of you don't. Normally, I can burn up about 42 to 49 hours a week in sleeping, and I'm convinced that if I don't burn up 42 to 49 hours a week in sleeping, that I don't get near as much out of the other 113 hours, 118 hours, 119 hours that I have in a week. But some weeks seem to be much more busy than other weeks in my life, and your life as well. And some weeks we're on the go, and 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 on the go. And maybe we don't get that 42 to 49 hours of sleep. And maybe if we do get that sleep, our mind won't shut off, and we kind of lay there prone, but it doesn't mean I'm sleeping. The week of the September 7th through the 13th, which ended last Sunday. I know that Sunday is the beginning of the week, but from Monday to Sunday, from the 7th to the 13th in my life was a very busy week. Extremely busy for me, and I endeavor to try to get an extra day in that so I can start on Sunday night so I can get more time in the week. But I didn't get that done on that last that Sunday, the 6th of September. So Monday I woke up and I had this plan of what I need to accomplish in the week, and it was Men's Link week. So I had messages for Men's Link that I needed to. I had the framework, but I needed to build. I had a message for last week to bring to here that I needed to build. And just to be honest, it normally takes me about 15 to 18 hours a week to build a message. So then I start Monday morning, and I start calculating in, okay, maybe I only need 12 hours on this one, I only need 12 hours on this one, but I need the full 18 on this one. So now I start calculating out how much time I need to really effectively build a message. I believe, and some ladies can do it much quicker. I don't know. It's just the way it is in my life. I need about 15 hours or 18 hours a week to build a message, to think through it. And it doesn't all happen. I can't just sit down for 18 hours and build a message. My mind goes dead after about 6 hours, and I need to get up and do something different. And so I knew that was coming, and I knew Monday morning I hit the office fairly early. And I was navigating through the office. I needed to complete the plans for Men's Link, and I needed to write those messages. And then all of a sudden, Friday morning came, and now I need to go and head out to Mahaffey. Cheryl and I needed to head out to Mahaffey. And some of you headed there almost the same time that we did, and you helped set up for Men's Link last week. And I was appreciative of that, and it helped. And when we were up there, like 9 o'clock or 9:30, something like 10 o'clock, something of that nature, 10:30. And so we navigated the day of Friday, and I preached on Friday night at Men's Link, and then Saturday morning back up, and I preached on Saturday morning at Men's Link, and then spent Saturday kind of running Men's Link, if you will, and just kind of running around in the golf cart to make sure everything was going well, making sure that the Tannerite was going off the way it should. Even though when you're only supposed to be shooting a quarter pound, you shoot a pound and a quarter. You kind of notice the difference in that. You can feel it a couple hundred yards away. You can still feel that concussion from that extra Tannerite. So I was running around and doing some things that I needed to do. And then Saturday afternoon, it was time to have the third session. And I'll give myself credit for about 20% of a message. And then I had other guys lined up so that we had that. And then we went into the supper hour, to the dinner hour. And then you guys cleaned up, but we had to clean up after that. And so we got home about 7:30 at night, Saturday night. And I told Cheryl, I said, this is the longest I've ever had to drive home from Mahaffey. I said, it took me 3 hours to get home from Mahaffey on that Saturday night. I said, what's wrong? So we got home about 7:30 and had to do a couple things, and we ate some supper because I missed supper up at the men's link. So we ate some supper, and one of the go-to suppers in our house when you miss supper is cereal. This is what it is. It's always there. It's always ready. It's always ready to eat. So it's got a spoon and a bowl and some milk, and you're good. So, you know, I've come to the conclusion that I need to start, and even more so, I just need to eat to live, not live to eat. So cereal is a very good one of those nourishments that don't take too long to consume. And so then Sunday morning, I got back up at fairly early. It's 5:30, 6 o'clock. I usually get up on a Sunday morning and went over the message for here for last week. And I spent some time in worship. I like to spend about an hour each Sunday morning from about 7 to 8. I like to spend time with my headsets on and just a time in worship, just listening and just communing with God, I believe. Then we're down here normally about 8:30 in the morning. We're down here and getting, kind of dragging the speakers out and doing the things that we need to do for this outdoor service. And so we accomplished that, and then I preached the message. And then we had some things to do in the afternoon, so we got home about 1 or 1:30, something like that, from here on Sunday afternoon. And then we ate some lunch, in which we dragged home from Sheets. I'm pretty thankful that Sheets is between here and home. And you can call ahead, and you can kind of drag it home with you. And we ate it, and then I had some messages, and I had some texts and some calls and different things that we needed to do, and I handled throughout the Sunday afternoon. Well, come about 9:15 on the Sunday, last Sunday afternoon or evening, and not 9:15, Cheryl had said something about the pillow calling us or something about the bed, and it didn't take me too long to fully agree with her. I tell you, I was exhausted. My week had been, I've been running and running and running and running, and maybe that's good, maybe it's not. It was accomplished. I was at 9:15, I wasn't trying to relive the week. At 9:15, I was just trying to keep my eyes open. So at 9:15, I'm in, and I barely get to the bed, and I'm telling you, it took me a good 20 seconds to get to sleep. And I went to sleep, and I slept well. I slept well. But about 4:15 in the morning, I was wide awake again. I was wide awake at 4:15 in the morning, and I just laid there. I refused to get up. I resisted the invitation of my body saying, okay, you slept long enough. Let's go. Let's go do something. What are you doing, you slacker? That's the way my body talks to me. I said, you slept. What, you've been here since 9:15. You got to be kidding me. It's 4:15. You're going to get up and do something now. But I resisted that, and I just laid there at 4:15 in the morning. And all of a sudden, I believe with all my heart, I know for certain that I was starting to have this conversation with God. And I believe that through the busyness of the week, and I just shared that to tell you, I went to bed at 9:15 and I was awake at 4:15 in the morning. And I believe that God was communing with me and I was communing with God. And I believe that God was sharing some stuff with me that I needed to hear. And he shared with me some stuff that I don't have any idea how it's going to happen. But I'm certain that it's going to happen. It's just that communion with God that I was having in those moments, in the wee hours of the morning, just laying there in my bed, really wide awake. But my spirit was in connection with God. It really was. And God was doing some miraculous works in my heart and in my soul at that time in the morning. God was speaking, and I wanted to hear what he was saying. That's not always true in my life. That God speaks, and I want to hear. But this past Monday morning, that was true. This past Monday morning, I was hearing from God, and it wasn't any different. He was challenging me on some things, and he was pushing me to the limit. And somebody posted on Facebook a quote of a physicist back in the 20s. He said, "I know your idea is crazy, but I'm wondering if it's crazy enough to be successful." And when I start hearing from God, I start hearing crazy things from God. And I'm thinking, wow, God. And he's doing that, and I can share some of that with you after a moment or after a few days maybe from now or weeks. I don't know. Maybe it was just for me. But from that 4:15 when I looked at the clock, and then all of a sudden when I looked back at the clock, it was 5:40. It was 5:40, and I had spent that hour, and what is it, an hour and 25 minutes with God. And that time was just so quick. It seemed to happen so fast. It seemed like time just stood still. I could not believe it. I had been there for an hour and 25 minutes. And I did not fall asleep. I did not return to sleep. I was wide awake. But what God was pouring into me was very nutritious for me and very, very enlightening for me and very challenging for me. And I want more and more and more of that from God. And I know, let me say it again, I know what he told me. I don't know how it'll happen, but I know it will happen because I don't think God's in the market for telling you something that's not going to happen. But after that hour and 25 minutes I laid there, I looked at the clock and it was 5:40. And I had made an agreement with my body that I would get up at 6. I said, you're going to lay here for another 20 minutes. And then you can get up. And so all of a sudden I said to God, just as I was saying that I'm going to be here till 6, I said, God, just so you know, I have no idea what I'm preaching on Sunday. Just so if that would happen to be in the market of anything that you would want to tell me right now, that would be really cool. Because I have no idea what I'm preaching on Sunday. So I share all of that, all about my last that week, and all about my night's sleep, and all about that communion with God. Because God gave me one word on Monday morning at 5:40. When I asked him, what am I preaching on this week, God? I don't have a 5-year plan. My 5-year plan is ask God and preach it from the word. That's my 5-year plan. I don't have it all laid out. I don't have it. As a matter of fact, let me just be frank. I have no idea what I'm preaching on next week. But at 5:40 on Monday morning, God gave me one word, and he said, share. And I knew instantly it wasn't just get up and share about my life or get up and share my testimony. I knew instantly that God wanted me to speak and preach on sharing. On being men and women who share. And what does that mean? And I said, okay to God. Next time I looked at the clock, it was 6:20. 40 minutes went by. 40 minutes and I was dead asleep for the next 40 minutes. I don't know why God does that stuff in my life. That why would he give me an extra 40 minutes? Because I think God wanted me to know that I was making a deal with him, not my body. And my body, I had made a deal with my body that it could take, that I was going to get up in 20 minutes. And God says, you're making no deals with your body. You're making deals with me. And I will give you 40. I'll give you double what you just agreed for your body. I'll give you double. I'm going to give you 40 minutes of extra sleep. And he shut my eyes. And when I opened them back up, the next thing I know, it's 6:20 in the morning. And so here we go. Share. Sharing. That's that 12 or 15, 12 minutes, 10, 12 minutes I just took. That's just to get to the word share. And it's not some random word I picked off of Google. What's the most word you preach on? As a matter of fact, Google doesn't have a lot of insight on that. But it's one word coming to one guy in the middle of the morning on last Monday morning, share. So here we go. We're going to dive into the word share. We're going to look at the word share. We often tell our kids, you need to share. You need to share. You need to share that or share this or share your crayons or share your markers. And then all of a sudden, maybe we don't share. So somebody becomes a taker and they come over and they take your stuff. He said, I want you to be sharers, not takers. I want you to be receivers of what's being shared, but I want you to share. We're teaching our kids day in and day out to share. So there seems to be some resistance to sharing. If we have to teach our kids, you don't have to teach your children to be bad. You don't just, I found that very enlightening when I was watching my girls grow up and even the kids of New Life. You don't have to teach a kid to be bad. Some of you have quoted that same thing. It happens. And so when sharing does not come normal, when sharing is not coming from the natural, as I ponder that, it invites me to go deeper. As I ponder that sharing is the word that God give me, as sharing is not something that happens in the natural. So I want to ponder that. Why would God say, do this, and it's not natural for me to do that? I got to wonder what that will cause in our lives. Am I making sense? So if I share, which is not natural for a child to do, guess what? You're just a taller child. If it's not natural for our children, it's not natural for our people, for me and for us, to be men and women who share. But yet God wants and invites us on into an environment where we can be men and women who share. That intrigues me. When God invites me to do things that aren't natural, when God invites me to do things that are of the natural, it intrigues me of what God wants to do through that. He said, you can't do this in the natural. You can't do this. You're not equipped to do this. You need to learn how to do this. In your natural body, you will not do it. But in the supernatural, you will do it. And I'm inviting you to dive into the supernatural so that you can become men and women of sharing. Those who share. So I'm going to jump into the word this morning. The Bible does speak about sharing. The Bible uses words about sharing. And we're going to dive into the word. If I can re-preach last week's message just for a few moments, because it keeps us on the right path. Why am I diving into the word of God? Because it keeps us on the right path. One of the guys from Rochester last week, he had this vision, this picture that he had in his soul and his heart at Men's Lake. And then he had it again here last Sunday. And he said he saw that the Word of God was opened up. And it looked like a waterfall. But it was all this three-dimensional waterfall. As I listened to him describe this picture, it is three-dimensional waterfall that was going down into the Word of God. And he said he felt so intrigued and so invited to jump into the waterfall. And so why? Because I think the waterfall is the Word of God, because I think it's going to move us. I think it'll keep us on the right path. It gives us counsel for life's situation. It strengthens our soul. This is last week's message. It makes clear life's priorities. It liberates us. It illuminates the way. It sharpens even the dullest of knives. So why do I go to the Word of God? Because I do believe it's this living, running waterfall from the very breath of God that pulls us down in. Because listen, New Life, first, God is saying, I want you to do something that you can't do in the natural. But I'm inviting you to do that. And so I want to know what happens when we begin to do the supernatural. We can talk about miracles and wonders and signs and wonders. And I believe more and more and more in those every single day of what God's doing in my life. But here's a simple practice that you can't do in the natural. You got to be taught as a little kid even to share your Quran. And God says, I want you to learn to do that. I want you to know the miraculous. I want you to know the signs and the wonders. I want you to know that. But I want you to know how to be men and women who share. And so the Word of God speaks to that. And he uses two words for the word share. It says to partake in or to give over. Which I don't think that's out of the ordinary for us to know. That's to partake. I share. You come along. I share a ride with you. You partake in the ride with me. Or I share a $5 bill with you. I give it over to you. I give it over to you and it becomes yours. And I've shared that with you, but it becomes yours. And then there's things I partake in. And I'm inviting someone to partake in to share in that. And God says, hang on. Hang on, New Life. I just got to be honest. If we can never get sharing, we're not going to get miracles. if we can't understand how to share, we're never going to move to the higher levels. We're never going to understand miracles. We're never going to understand signs and wonders. They'll always be kind of out there for us, just a little bit out of our reach. God says, if you can't get the basic understanding, I want you to be men and women who share. You can't do that in the natural, but I'm going to empower you to do something in the supernatural. And you're going to see what it'll do, because I've invited you to do something that's going to alter the lives of people. And you need to be men and women who share. The men and women who invite others to partake in. The men and women who give it over to another. So what are we sharing? That's my question to God. Then what am I sharing, God? What am I sharing? So as I dive into the Word, and if you have a sermon outline, here we go. Three verses that I believe that God gave me. What am I sharing? That was my question to God. When I was in my office Monday morning, that was my question to God. What am I sharing, God? What am I sharing? And all of a sudden, I started to read the Scripture, and I started to see where God was pointing me in Scripture. And he led me to this passage in Thessalonians. He says, we love you so much that we were delighted to share. There it is. To share with you not only the gospel, but so we're sharing the gospel. If I was you on that passage of Scripture, I would circle the word gospel. Just circle it for me. Just act like you are. It'll make me smile if you just act like you're circling it. Circle the word gospel, because God says, what do I want you to share? Oh, of course he wants you to share the gospel, but you won't even share your crayons. You say, yeah, I'll share the gospel. You won't even share your markers. You won't share your ice cream. He said, I want you to share the gospel. I want you to be gospel sharers. And not just Jesus loves you, which is the starting point of that, but all the message, the full message of this new life, the full message of the gospel. He said, I want you to be sharing of that. I want you to give that over to people. I want you to invite people to partake in that, in the spiritual nourishment that God has for them. Look at what he says in that. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but what? But our lives as well. And so God is inviting us to share our lives. So I'm sharing the gospel and the message, the spiritual nourishment that God has, that he wants other people to have. And he said, I'm giving it to you. It's in your pockets, for crying out loud. Will you share the spiritual nourishment that I have for people? And we ask, why is our country going to hell in a handbasket? Because maybe the church is not sharing. He said, I want you to share the gospel. I also want you to do this. I want you to share your life. I'm kind of busy, God. Did you see my week last week? He said, I want you to share your lives with each other. I want you to share your life with that individual or that situation. It's inconvenient to share your life with people. It just is. They kind of put a hitch in your get-along. All of a sudden, my schedule matters now to two or three people rather than just me. And it's hard at times to share your life with someone. It's easier, I think, at times to be a loner. And God said, wait a minute, you asked me what I wanted you to share. And I'm telling you what I want you to share. I want you to share this spiritual nourishment, this gospel. I want you to share your lives with people. I would circle gospel in our lives. This is what God wants us to share, this spiritual provision, this share our lives, share our hearts, share our time, share our thoughts. It doesn't say anything about share your opinions, which we're seeing to be no lack of these days. Just because you share your opinion doesn't mean you shared your life. See, God, you're starting off with some pretty big stuff there. Just be honest. And look what he says in Romans, the three passages, which includes the Romans 11:1, 11-12. He says, I long to see you so that I may impart. Or there's the word. It's translated impart, but here's the word share. So you can share, to impart, to share with you some spiritual gifts. some spiritual gift to make you strong. Now I want you to share your spiritual gift. Please, stick with me this morning. I said, I want you to share the gospel and the spiritual nourishment. I want you to share your lives. I want you to share your spiritual nourishment that you have received to someone else. I want you to share your spiritual gift. What does God want you to share this morning? He wants you to share your spiritual gift. Has the enemy convinced you that you don't have one? Has the enemy convinced you that you don't have one that's viable? Does the enemy convince you that it is not going to make a difference? Then why would God ask us to share it? Then I want you to share this spiritual gift. Paul said, I long to come. I long to come. So why? So I could share what? So I could share my spiritual gift with you that will strengthen you. That's what I want. So you have a spiritual gift. If you know Christ as your Savior, you have a spiritual gift. And God says, I want you to share that with others. I want you to share that spiritual gift with others. Will you let me open the door where you can share that? So he wants us to share our spiritual gift. Ephesians 4:28 says this, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work and do something useful with his hands. And I thought that was interesting. But then he may have something to share with those in need. Circle the word something. He said, I want you to be a sharer of something. So he said, wait a minute, I want you to share the spiritual nourishment, I want you to share the gospel, and I want you to share your life. And listen, this is just three passages of scripture out of the 40 or 50 that I found. But he said, I want you to share the gospel and the spiritual nourishment that I put in you. I want you to be men and women who share that. Do you know how many people are longing to be spiritually nourished? Do you know that? Do you know how many people are longing to be? Do you know how many people in our community, in our country, who have never been prayed for by name? 340 million people in this world. And God said, I want you to share that spiritual nourishment with them. And I want you to share your life with them. And I want you to share the spiritual gifting that I gave you. I gave you spiritual gifting. I've given you spiritual abilities. And I want you to share those spiritual abilities. And I want you to share something. I want you to have this something to share with someone who is in need. I'm pretty sure that's a physical provision. You ever heard at camp you had a swear jar? Every time you swear, you have to put money in a swear jar? No, I don't have to put so much in there anymore. But I wonder if we could have a share jar. You know, he said, I want you to work hard at it. I want you to work so that you can have something to share with those that are in need. So wait a minute, here we go. I'm going to hurry this morning. Here we go. God wants you to share the gospel and some spiritual nourishment. Okay, God wants you to share your life with someone who needs someone to share their life with. And God wants you to share your spiritual gifting with someone that you can strengthen through your spiritual gifting. And God just wants you to share something with those that are in need. So then my next question is this. What's the motivation to share? Okay, God told you. That's a pretty good one. Well, it's good for my dad. God, why do you want me to do that? Because I told you. And 99% of the time, that was good enough because we didn't have time for him to tell me all the reasons he was telling me to do that. And God will say that sometimes because I told you and I'm God and you're not. And because I'm God and I can see this big picture and you can't. Because I'm God and you trust me. And because God, I'm God and I redeemed you, I bought you by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, I own you. So which one of those is good enough? But no, wait a minute. He said, I'll tell you what the motivation for giving or sharing. Sharing what you already have. See, we share what we already have. So we share this gospel because you have it to share. You share this life because you have it to share. You share this spiritual gift because you have it to share. You share this something because you have it to share. You already have it. And so what's the motivation to do this? So if you want to, you can go back through the same three passages and now underline the word loved. Because now we want you to do that because we love you. He said, we're going to love. Our love has motivated us to share the gospel with you. Our love has motivated us to share our lives with you. So the motivation to the church of Thessalonica was love. And to Paul was love. And you can underline the word dear, which means we hold you in high value. Now I'm starting to convict my own soul here. God says the motivation is love. And the motivation is valuing people. That's why they were sharing their lives, because they knew that they were valuing the people. They knew that the people had value. And they loved the people. And so I asked myself, is that my motivation? The motivation is love for people and to value or dear or to value people. In Romans it says this, to make you strong. So I would underline the word to make you strong. What's the motivation? Because I want to make someone else stronger. Am I making sense this morning? Or it's to make you stronger. He said, my motivation of sharing my spiritual gift with you is so that you will be stronger. So the team will be stronger. Because the team needs to be stronger. And so God gives you a spiritual gift that you share with me so I can be stronger. So I love people. That's motivation for sharing. I value people. That's motivation for sharing. And I want people to be stronger. That's their motivation for sharing. Ephesians says it this way, so that you can share, has something to share with those in need. Underline the words, those in need. So the motivation is because there are people in need. So if that's the motivation, if it's love, and if it's high value of people, and if it's the desire to see people get stronger and stronger and stronger, I'm convinced that we spend more time chopping people off at the knees than building people up. So people will get stronger and stronger and stronger, and so people will have their needs met. That's the motivation for giving or for sharing. That's the motivation for sharing what God has already given you. Let me remind you, God has already given it to you. You already have it. If God wants you to share it, he's already given it to you. And if God wants you to share it in next week, he'll give it to you this week. If God wants you to share it next month, he'll give it to you between now and next month. He will just give it to you. The motivation is loving people. The motivation is valuing people. The motivation is, and I think this goes right along with our children. Why do I have to share? Because you love each other. Because you value each other. Because you want each other to be stronger. And you can color the picture too. And because your sister or your brother does not have a red crayon. See, I think it goes all the way back to little kids. Because they need a red crayon to strengthen their picture. And that's because you value them and because you love them is why you're going to share your crayon with them. Not share your crayon. If you don't, I'm going to beat you. Share your crayon or you're going to get time out. See, we need to stop telling our kids that and say, oh, you can give them time out and you can give them a whooping. I don't care. On their bots. But at least tell your children why they need to share. Because why do you need to share? Because we share because we love people. We share because we value people. We share because we want people to be strengthened. And we share because people need what God has already given us. And we're going to be men and women who share in this house. So I ask myself, if my motivation is love and value of other people and to strengthen other people and to meet the physical needs, and what I'm to share is the gospel in my life and the spiritual gifting that God has given me and the something that God has put in my pockets, then why do I not share? Then why am I not a man of sharing? And maybe I don't share because I don't love people. And I just got to be honest. I ask myself this question. I'm asking you the same question. If the motivation for sharing is these, then I don't share, so I got to go back and say, I need to be diagnosed, God. I don't really love people. And I really don't hold them in high value. And I really don't care if they're strengthened or not. And I really don't care if they're in need. Or maybe I don't see the need because I don't want to see the need. And so I don't see the need, or I don't really care about those needs. And we sing the song, and I heard it this week, break my heart for what breaks yours, but don't break it on these 16 different things. Have you ever been broken for someone else's need, for someone else's need of the gospel? Have you ever just been broken for the lost? And do you know that you have it? Do you know that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that you have the gospel? And God says, I trusted it with you. And he says it. He says in the scripture, he said, I put that message in jars of clay so that people will know that it's from me. But you got it. And I want you to share it. And you got a spiritual gift, and I want you to share it. You've got something. And I want you to share it with those that are in need. And I love that Ephesians passage. And I asked this question to Cheryl, and I asked it to myself. When I don't share, am I a thief? I mean, really, if I don't share this something with those in need, it says that you need to stop stealing from people and you need to work. Am I a thief or am I lazy? Because I don't have anything to share. I don't have the something. And he said, well, you need to stop robbing people because what I've given you is not for you. What I've given you is for someone else, but you never ask me. You never ask me if you want me to share that with someone else. You never ask me that if I give you $50 extra in your paycheck because you got a couple hours of overtime, you just automatically think it's for you. You never ask me if there is a need around. Why, God? Why did you give me this $50? Why did you give me this overtime? And maybe he will say, so you can catch up your bills or so you can save it. I don't know. But you never, I never ask him. And God says, I want you to help. I want you to be men and women who share. And that lawn mowing job that you did, and it took you 30 minutes less than what you thought it would do to mow the lawn. And you didn't, what did you do with that 30 minutes? I wanted you to unload the dishwasher for your wife. I wanted you to just sit down and play a game with your kids. I wanted you to give that to them because you love them and because you value them. And no, but you played on your phone for another 30 minutes. Do you ever ask God what he wants me to do with 30 minutes? See, I'm being very convicted even as I preach this message. God said, I've given you, and 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 I can't trust you with it because you automatically think it's just all you. You're so self-centered. See, because sharing doesn't come naturally. And when God asks me to do something that doesn't come naturally, see, God has never asked me to breathe. God has never asked me to make my heart beat physically. Because he's equipped me to do that. That's natural movement in this natural body that he's given me. Sharing is not natural. But he invites us to share. He invites us to share these things that will strengthen, that will give the gospel, that will provide for. Because we love people, because we care about them, because we value them, because we want to see them stronger, because they have a need. The spiritual gift that will strengthen each other. One of the things that drives me crazy is when the enemy can convince you that you're mad at somebody and you move away from them. And all of a sudden, there's no strengthening in the spiritual gifting. Sharing is a supernatural phenomenon. I'm on my last page of notes. Hang with me. Sharing is a supernatural phenomenon. What is needed to be one who shares? And I asked that question to God this week, and I said, "What, God, what do I need?" And he said, "You need to be aware." And so if you're filling in the blanks, the first A is just aware. There's three A's. You need to be aware. You need to be aware of this. You need to be aware that it's supernatural. That what you have is to share is from God, and it'll do the work of God. Are you with me this morning, New Life? It's because I have what I'm asking you to share is from me. I don't care if it's $5, the gospel, your spiritual gifting, your life. I own all of that. I have the right to ask you to share it. And I'm asking you to share it. You need to know. You need to be aware of how powerful that is. You need to be aware of what that'll do in someone else's life. You need to be aware, because I'm asking you to do something that's supernatural that you can't do in the natural. But you can when I enable you. You can when I empower you. And it's going to do God-sized stuff. $5. You can imagine. Oh, $5 won't even hardly get me a hamburger. But in the hands of God, it does God's work. And I've watched it happen in this body. I've watched some of you give. I've watched you give physically. And I've watched you give spiritually. And I've watched you pray. And I've watched you. Do you understand that we had a guy that had been interacted with by a New Life guy earlier in the week. And he invited him to come here. And he resisted. He would not come here. Do you realize he run out of gas right over there by the railroad tracks on a Sunday morning during the message? Don't tell me that just a few moments with a guy outside of a store doesn't do the work of God. And God says, "I own your life. I ought to have the right to ask you to share it." You need to be aware. And then it says that you are the light of the world. That's the passage. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You need to be aware that you're light of the world. Do not let the enemy convince you that you're anything less than the light of the world. Be aware of that. There is no other light. It's the church. You need to align yourself with God. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He said, "You need to align yourself with me. I've given you life by the Spirit. Don't you think I would help you keep in step with the Spirit so you and I can know, you and I can be in cahoots with one another? So you and I can know that when I say share now, you'll share. When I say share now, you'll do it." You need to be keeping in step with the Spirit. You need to align yourself with the Spirit. And how do we do that? We got a prayer here at the end. Because every time I think, "Well, how do I do that, God?" And then I think, "Well, that's going to be 45 months of messages." And he said, "I know, but start by asking for it." Just start by asking. Because if you give you a 55-step program to get there, you'll probably forget step 45 in the middle somewhere. So why don't you just start asking and start praying for it. So we're ending today with a prayer, a 3A's prayer, I call it. That we will be aware, that we will be aligned with God. And the third A is just act, and I will act it, and I will do it. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Act. You need to be aware that you're the light of the world and what you're doing is God's stuff. And you need to align ourselves. We need to align ourselves with God. And then we need to play it out. We need to act it. We need to get it out of our pocket and give it to somebody. Do you know how many times I've been handed money here? $20, $50 bills. And the person would say to me, "I'm not sure what you're going to do with this, But God has just directed me to just to give it to you right now. And so I carry that $50 bill with me or that $20 bill. And I said, God, this is going to be exciting. What do you want me to do with it? And without fail, throughout the next 2 or 3 days, he has opened the door where somebody needed something. I would challenge us to carry a 20 in your wallet or a 10 and say, God, I'm ready to share whenever you want me to. I'm ready to act. Aware, align, act. And here's the 3 A's prayer. Every blank in the A's prayer is the word I, because I will not fill in your I. It's your prayer, not mine. I'll fill in my own eyes. But you're the one who has to write the I in there. And just words, just the words that have come off of my heart, just words that are written in my on my thinking book, just a prayer that I'm going to be praying along with other prayers that I pray. And this is what it is, just simply this. God, I know that you have called me the light of the world. I got to be honest. To be honest, at times I do not feel that is so, but I know that you, if you said it, it is the truth. I know that I have been given life by the Spirit, and I want to walk in alignment with him. I want you to work in me, so I will act according to your will and purpose. Lord, I want to be one who shares. Could you just agree with me to pray for that for a while? Just see what God does. Just see where he opens up the doors, increases your love for somebody, increases the value that you see in someone, increases your desire to strengthen someone else, or increases your desire to meet the needs of someone else. And maybe he'll increase your knowledge of God and his way and his gospel, and maybe he'll enhance your spiritual gifting, and maybe he'll give you an extra $50 every single week because he can trust you with it. And maybe you'll begin to see the needs of people. And we'll be more challenged to share the gospel, to share our lives, to share our spiritual gifts, to share our somethings. God, thank you for this day. God, I want to think that, well, I want to share the gospel. But Lord, if you're asking me to do it, none of those things are more powerful than the other in that very moment. So if you're asking me to share a $5 bill, that's the most powerful thing in that very moment. But help me not share a $5 bill if you're asking to share my spiritual gifting. Father, help me share my life. Help me share the gospel with its spiritual nourishment that goes with it. Help my love increase and my value of people increase and my desire to see people stronger, and help me see the needs of people. God, thank you so much for giving me everything that you're asking me to share. I know when I watch kids sharing crayons or sharing pencils or sharing snacks, those kids have nothing invested in that. Their mom bought that. And God, everything that we have is from you. So help us to be men and women who share, who step out of only the natural and into the supernatural and watch what you're going to do in and through us. God, I'm so thankful that you have called me to share. Thank you for 4:15, an hour and 20 minutes of communion with you. And thank you for 40 minutes of extra sleep. Thank you that I could make an agreement with you and not my body. Father, I thank you. Father, we're going to, I said probably an hour ago that we're going to say amen. Pretty soon in this message, in this service, we're going to say amen. And then we're going to start our vehicles. We're going to get back in. We're going to talk. We're going to shake some hands. And we're going to leave here. And we're going to be the church. We're going to stop at Sheets. We're going to stop at Walmart. We're going to go home. We're going to go to a ball game. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're still the church. May it sink into my soul and into my heart. God, I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Go be the church.